Today's issue is Faces Issue 3, Infiltration of the White Death. On the cover, Rider Typhon and Faye crouch in a window-washing lift, high up the side of a skyscraper. Inside the windows, we can see the Cult of the White Death security guards search the building, with guns and radios drawn. We turn the page and our story begins.
The recap panel, I am sitting with my back to the viewer. There are three books floating in front of me. The words on them are not legible, but in my thought bubble, the like voiceover bubble, which is pink with white lettering, we see this. I don't know what went wrong. We've been such a good group for such a long time, but something feels off. It might be that coin. It's making everything different. It's breaking reality or something like that. I thought we were going to be fine when we left to drop it off at Sabre headquarters. We all seemed like we were back to normal. Ryder and Carl were really cute, actually. And Violet and I seemed like we were getting along really well. But when we got to Sabre, there was already fire and there was already so much going wrong. We tried to stop the Smiling Phoenix. He dove into the bay. I don't know if he got away or not. There was fire everywhere and I kind of lost control there for a minute. I'm glad Ryder was there to help. Otherwise, I don't know where I'd be right now. But I am determined to figure out what went wrong and to stop that from happening again.
We're going to say the next day. What have you all been doing up to that point?
I've been fixing my clothes. That bastard singed my clothes.
Fantastic. It's such a violent answer. I love it.
I haven't woken up yet. I'm still unconscious. Very, very drained.
Oh, were you still unconscious at the scene?
Yeah, she was. If you remember, Felix actually carried her back to her sanctuary.
Okay. So did Felix stay there?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is Felix actually stayed with Faye to make sure that she was okay.
And what did Carl do?
So I would have gone straight home and not talked to anyone.
He had to check in with Bert.
Well, I think Carl is feeling like super bad right now because he wanted to join the team to be more human, and he ended up feeling less human. So,
what does he tell Bert?
That's a good question. I think he'd be really quiet about it. I think he would just come in and sit on the couch and start watching TV with him. Bert is not very good with social cues, so he wouldn't ask anything.
Okay, that's kind of the feeling I was getting there.
Every time I think of Bert, I think of the old man from Up.
Yeah, that is actually what I'm picturing too. Faye, can you reintroduce us to your sanctuary?
Absolutely. So we cut into the sanctuary. It is, the first panel is like a path through the tunnels. The tunnels are underneath the school. There's an entrance from the chapel, and also there's an entrance from my mom's office in the library, though that's probably not one that you all would use. That is one that I would use. So I assume the first panel is someone walking into the sanctuary. It's stone for the most part, but there are a couple like wooden doors, lots of books, lots of bookshelves, writings, and one room is completely quarantined off. That is the containment chamber, which likely is where I am right now.
Okay, cool. And Felix, while waiting for Faye to awaken, what have you been doing?
Other than pacing back and forth, I've been actually just perusing through some of the books, avoiding anything that would seem to be dangerous to myself, but just like anything that looks interesting, I will kind of pick off the shelf. And I've been kind of looking through just random books as I've been watching over Faye.
Right, and Faye, one last setup question. What book is Felix browsing through when you wake up?
He is reading a book on advanced demonology. It's cool. Primarily in Latin, so I'm not sure how much he knows of it, but there's some passages where I have gone through and translated on the side, so he can read my translations.
Cool. And you awaken and see Felix with his back turned browsing, or like flipping through this book. What do you do?
Hey.
Faye, you're awake? You see, I guess, a panel of him shutting the book, like you see the snap of the book shut, and he turns around and kind of moves quickly to help Faye up. I guess. And he says, "Are you okay? You've been out for the day."
I'm just tired. What happened?
Well, last I do you remember anything about yesterday?
Yeah, we were fighting the Smiling Phoenix and things got a little out of hand. And so there's a fair bit of hemming and hawing. And then finally I'm like, okay, can we just address the elephant in the room? You saw me turn into a demon.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I did the rider slash at you and the Phoenix. I didn't know what else to do.
You did the right thing. You're fine.
Did I really, though? I mean, you were out for nearly a day. I could have killed you with that.
That wasn't you, I promise. It was a...
It sounds like you're comforting.
Takes a lot out of me. It doesn't happen a lot, but... Well, it's pretty draining.
Faye, it sounds like you're trying to comfort or support someone. So go ahead and roll with plus mundane. That's the first off mark potential. And Ryder, Faye's words fall very, very hollow on your ears. It seems like the thing you say to make things work, not the thing that's honest.
I would say, okay, you see a panel of this not bewildered look, but this like just absolutely crushed look on Felix's face, where he just repeats the line, "I could have killed you. I don't care what you changed into. I still could have killed you. I made a mistake. I'm sorry."
And at that moment, Felix's cell phone starts going off. What's your cell phone sound like?
I'm going to say it's honestly a very generic ringtone. It's not like the rings, but it's like the Nokia ringtone type deal.
Oh, yeah, excellent. And Hyun is calling you.
So he flips the phone up. He says, hello?
We'll jump to that in a sec. Faye, what are you doing?
I'm helping myself up. As he's distracted, I'm kind of wrapping the blanket around myself. And then telekinetically, I'm picking up the book that he was looking at and bringing it over. And I see that he's been reading Advanced Demonology. Concerns me because I think he's afraid of me now.
Excellent. On the phone, what does your uncle call you? Is it just Felix or...
I would just say it's Felix. Or Fee. He may call me Fee. That would be a good nickname. He calls me Fee. Given that he is I'm going to say that's what he calls me.
You just hear Fee. What
Uncle?
Happened?
What do you mean, Uncle? What do you mean what happened?
I'm hearing that you were seen in a burning saber building and been some kind of fire over the bay? What are you doing now?
I'm trying to protect the city, Uncle. I don't have to explain myself to you in this situation. I did what I had to do to help my friends.
You hear a heavy sigh. He goes, if you're going to survive out there, you need to be smarter. And you need to not rush in the danger. And he is attempting to shift your labels. He is trying to raise your superior and lower your danger.
No, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to accept that.
Okay.
I'm going to accept that. And this raises superior, lowers danger?
Yep, lowers the danger. Because he's telling you, you need to think. You need to not rush in and swim.
Then I'm going to say, I understand, Uncle.
Did you even think about the people? I mean, the people without powers? Like, you need to get them out of there first. Their deaths could have been on your hands.
I did think about them, Uncle. I didn't think. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
I know. Just you need to watch. You need to be careful. He makes a little bit more chit chat and then gets off the phone.
Okay, Felix is gonna kind of, because it is a flip phone. He's gonna flip the phone down, set it back into the side of his belt, and he's gonna turn back around to Bay and go, we need to talk about what we can do if that happens again.
Yeah, you're right. I don't really have an answer. I'm sorry. You made the right choice.
I don't want you to hurt yourself or hurt anybody else in the process. Is there any other way that we can help you control this?
There might be something. You know about the cult, right? I told you about that, about where I got the demon from.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's possible they might have some information. We could go, not that I want to, but we could go break into the church and see what we can find.
Well, if you're going to do that, then I'm coming with you. I'm not going to let you take this on alone.
Okay. I don't want that, but okay.
I think the scene would probably end there with that line.
I'm going to jump over to Violet, because you don't actually have a permanent residence, right?
I'm currently staying at Phoenix Claw's place.
Right, okay.
With the uncle that does not really like me because I'm trans.
Have you been at the house, or you just been out and about?
I've been out and about. I don't like sitting still.
Okay, cool. So in your time out, you've seen that the bay is still emitting just this. It's not the same extreme amount of steam as it was before, but it's still a steady bubbling steam from the middle of the bay. Over a few hours, it doesn't get much better. So let's put you kind of on a roof nearby, looking out over this.
All right.
And you start to see this like column of steam, not intensifying, but moving slowly back in towards the inland.
Yeah, that ain't good.
What do you do?
All right, I'd call Carl then.
Carl, what is you want to set that panel when your phone rings?
Panel is like Carl sitting on the couch watching TV with Bert, right? Like the drawing, and then suddenly you see Carl change into a whirling mass of bees, and then he answers the phone.
Well, I just want to know what kind of ring it has that got your attention.
Oh, well, what kind of ring? It probably would just be on vibrate. One of those ringtones where it's like the vibrate sound, where it goes
bzzz. Can I make a suggestion that's very similar to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, it sounds like a vibrating cell phone, but it is actually a ringtone of vibration. So it's like a buzzing ringtone.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Excellent.
Those were popular for a while, right? Okay, so Carl picks up the phone and goes, hello.
I'd say, hey, Carl, I know I'm still pissed at you for yelling at me, but you remember that fireball of kind of guy, scary looking guy from the other day?
We remember.
Yeah, I think he's done with his dip and he's coming out to say hello.
We will not make the same mistake again. Where are you? I'm coming.
I'm at a rooftop near the bay. You think you could get a hold of Felix and Faye? Because I think they need to be here.
We will call them. And we will come. And we won't make the same mistake twice.
So I think our next panel... Faye and Ryder, I assume you all geared up. How you going, Em?
I would assume we would gear up, yeah.
I'm geared up.
Me. Yeah, I'd assume we'd be geared up.
And how are you approaching? So we've got the church. Where is the church, Small Town?
It's not actually like at a church. It's a high-rise, like a skyscraper kind of building.
Okay.
And it's like the 8th floor is where Mary Louise Rogers, she is a accountant by day, so on the 8th floor is her office, and that is where like a lot of the main meetings are held, like where the higher ups meet. I have reason to leave given my research into the building that there's also an underground, like a sub basement where more ritualistic functions are performed.
That's a fair assumption. I mean, in every comic book skyscraper has at least 6 sub-basements.
Of course, that's how it works in Moon Harbor, you know. Absolutely. We all know that.
And where are you all? When we have the opening panel seeing this, like, high-rise.
We're in the alley, like, 2 buildings down.
Okay, awesome. And I'm going to take some DM liberty here and assume that you've all put your phone's on silent if you're trying to infiltrate somewhere. And there's a couple panels of like 4 missed calls on each of your displays from Carl. There's like a subset in panels. You all are approaching the building. What do you do?
So Faye, how do we get in this thing?
And we get like a panel of the, like a view of the front where we have, you know, a fairly standard glass sliding doors opening up, but there is like a posted, looks like a, you know, standard security guard for hire, but has enough lumps in the right spots to make him look more guarded than he probably should be.
All right, so we're facing the front of the building, looking in from around the corner from the alley two buildings down. So we can either sneak in, there might be an open window or something, or I can take the riskier approach.
Let's not take any risks. I want to assess the situation and, yeah, if possible.
Okay, so we get like this panel of Ryder like peeking out around the edge and just kind of eyeing the building up and down. Let's go ahead and roll plus superior. On a 9, unless Faye is assisting, you ask one.
I'm actually going to ask the question, what here can I use to get into the building?
About 4 floors up, you see a window washing thingy. What are those called? You know what I'm talking about.
The window washer. The buckets, right.
Yeah, and a cracked window, a floor above that.
Okay, I'm going to turn to Faye and say, hey, look up there, 4th floor. We can get in there.
I see it. But how are we going to get the security guard away?
That's a darn good question.
Hold on one sec. I'm looking down the street past, on the opposite direction from where we are, about 4 blocks down, within visible sight from the security guard, and I'm going to telekinetically flip the phone booth over.
Okay.
That's a 6.
All right. Yeah. Unless someone can find a way to help you with that. I'm not positive how anyone could.
Nope. Phone booths are bolted to the ground. So I tried to flip it, and then I was like, oh, wait. That's not how physics works.
The phone booth kind of rattles up, and then you hear a resounding clang. The guard reaches down into his pocket, pulls out a device. You can't see what it is, but you can see a blinking light on the screen. And then pulls out a radio and starts talking into the radio and pulls back inside the building. What do you do?
At this point, is there I know skyscrapers all have buildings that were in the alleyway. How tall is the building next to this skyscraper?
Let's say like 6 floors. Wait, sorry. How tall is this building, Faye?
At 6 floors, and then there's a fire escape running in the alleyway that we're in.
I meant the high-rise.
Oh, the high-rise? Probably like 27, 30 floors.
Okay, then let's put it right more around like 20. It's about halfway up.
Okay, what I meant to ask then is there I was going to ask actually since Faye has said, is there a fire escape I can like jump up to kind of see into that window?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
Okay, well, you're going to see a panel then of, you're going to see light begin glowing around my feet, and then I'm going to kind of crash down and leap up to the 4th floor, to the fire escape on the 4th floor.
Awesome. Cool.
I'm going to fly up and meet him there.
You're all staring in through the 4th floor window. It's cracked open, and it seems to be a fairly normal office. Through a open door inside the office, you can see several security guards moving with a purpose in the hallway, like past the door.
Yeah, this is going to be a fight, Faye. Are you ready for this?
I have an idea about how we can maybe make this work without resorting to violence.
Well, I'm all for it if you are.
Do you trust me?
More than anything.
I'm going to fly and open the window and go inside.
Okay.
I'm going to call to the guards.
What do you say?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be like, hey, guards, until they're in the doorway.
We hear a commotion, and then we hear a lot of the sound of radio when it's written in such a way you can't read what it says. We hear a lot of that and a lot of movement outside the door. And then we turn the page, and the next panel is... So we get the a panel of Violet standing on the roof early evening as the... was staring out over the steam on the bay that's moved significantly closer than the last time we saw. And how does Carl arrive in the next panel?
Okay, so from from all directions, suddenly insects appear, and it's like not from one spot, but they come from all over the place, and they like form into a big ball, and they suddenly rise up in a ball in front of a pilot.
You're just something straight out of a freaking horror show, aren't you, Carl?
We would prefer if you call us Myriad. Show us where the monster is.
You got like how many eyes and you still can't see that bay?
So Carl turns around and sees that there's a bunch of smoke in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts like the swarm of insects gets agitated.
All right. Cool. This thing is going to be making landfall within the next couple minutes. Where do you all want to be when that happens, or are you doing anything before then?
Carl is going to just not say a word and just start moving towards a ground level to the bay.
Okay.
I imagine you like forming into a swarm of bees and just and then reforming on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. So like the swarm, what's the word? It scatters again. And
okay. All
the insects go down the building, and then it reforms as a ball at the bottom of the building, and the swarm starts going for the bay.
Excellent, excellent. And Violet, what are you doing?
I'm going to be using my sharpened eyes, and I'm going to be looking around for nearby people with powers who are currently using them, so that I can be able to copy them with my scanner.
Cool. Go ahead and roll assess the situation.
I got an 11.
All right, so you can ask two.
Right, so my first is there anyone nearby who's using their powers that I have the ability to copy? Because my powers from the last time was gone. Too much time has passed.
You see a person who is a just enough change off of Iceman to not get us in trouble, if this was an actual comic book, skating down the sidewalk by blasting ice in front of them.
I see the Iceman, or the guy who's got icy powers, and I fly over and I scan him.
All right.
I think that would be unleashing my powers, though, right?
I think he's not really a threat. He's not even aware of you. Just going to happen. We've got this panel of Carl. Are you staying swarm, or are you reforming at the shore? I think the way this happens is you arrive at the shore as it breaches the water, because I think that's the right way to draw that panel.
Yeah, I think there would be like a big street going to a harbor. And Carl would be as a swarm going down the lane. And then as cars are coming, he would just at the last minute just scatter and then reform after the car, all badass like. And freak out the drivers, though they're kind of used to it because the city, you know, they keep honking.
Right. Okay, so we get that panel, and then we get...
And then the next panel, he sees that something's happening out of the water, and then he would completely scatter and disappear.
Okay, cool. So then we get this panel where this older man, about, I'd say, like, early 50s, breaks through the water, and just the edges of his silhouette are immediately start to burst into flames. Around his neck is this elaborate metal amulet that looks like cages within cages within cages, and it is very clearly made of the same metal as the coin. He drops to his knees and screams, "No, no, not again!" And then flames burst out around him. Carl, what do you do?
So I just scattered into a million different insects, so I think I'm going to try to hide.
All right. If you want to hide, you absolutely can. The fire starts pouring out more and more. It doesn't get to the full intensity it was at in the building before. It's obviously been dampened by the water. And Violet, what are you doing?
I'm going to rush towards him and use my new ice powers.
Awesome. Tell me how they work.
Okay. So what I'm capable of doing with my version of the ice powers is I'm capable of sort of vacuuming the air pressure around me and freezing it into an arctic blast that goes out about about eight to 10 feet in front of me.
Okay.
And when it does this, during that time, anything that kind of comes near me starts to form icicles out of vapors because of that air pressure that's around me.
Cool. So you're just swinging towards him and blasting?
Yep.
All right, go ahead and roll to direct engage a threat.
Eight.
All right. On a 7 to 9, pick... on a hit, trade blows. On a 7 to 9, pick one. Resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity for your allies. Impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Take something from them.
What are you taking from them?
I'm taking that necklace around their neck.
Okay. The ice hits him, knocks him back, and you get this blast of fire that flies out from it. The fire slams into you. In a moment, you're going to... go ahead and roll to take a terrible... take a powerful blow. So go ahead and roll that, and then I'll tell you the rest of what happens.
7. I'm going to say lash out verbally and provoke a teammate to foolhardy take action or to take advantage of your influence and inflict a condition. And I'm going to inflict a condition.
Do you have influence ever?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you yelling? How are you insulting?
Oh, I see. Hey, stop being a drama queen and hiding, you little bastard. Come out here and help me.
You surrender the influence you hold over them, and you inflict a condition. So, Carl, you take a condition from that. You kind of, Violet kind of stumbles back onto her knee, and when the ice clears, the amulet is laying on the ground between the two of you. The fire leaps off of the man, and the man kind of stumbles back, and the fire engulfs the amulet. Carl, what are you doing?
So did I hear it correct that I have to take a condition?
Yes, Violet. Okay. Violet hit you deep with her words.
I'm going to take angry.
Reasonable.
I still have afraid and guilty, by the way. So the amulet is on the floor and the amulet is on fire now. Is that correct?
Yeah, the entire amount of fire in that phoenix-y, in that winged shape is... engulfing around the amulet.
Yeah, and where is the old guy then?
He's stumbled back onto his knees behind the fire.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to form a ball around the amulet, the flames, and push in, you would throw a blanket over a fire.
Okay. It kind of sounds like you're defending. So go ahead and roll plus, I believe that's Savior.
I think I have a 0 there. Yeah, okay, so just 2d6. A 9.
On a 9, on a hit, you keep it safe and choose 1. On a 7 to 9, it costs you. Expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. Your choice.
Expose myself to danger.
All right, and then on the 7 to 9, you get to either add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I'm going to take influence over the old guy.
Okay.
Man, clear a condition.
I'm sorry, were you exposing yourself to danger or escalating? I missed.
Yeah, I'm exposing myself to the danger.
Okay, cool. So we get this panel of Carl just forming this ball around the... amulet, and the fire's just slamming into Carl over and over. Are you going by Myriad now? Should I be calling you that?
I think that's a question Carl is asking him, but yeah, for now, I think Violet would certainly call him Myriad.
Okay. We get this panel of these these fried insects kind of falling off, and the man stands staring down, and you can just see absolute awe in his eyes, and he starts tearing up and just yells, thank you, and just runs. Violet, what are you doing?
I'm impressed that Carl is losing weight in such a fantastic way.
You're such an asshole.
Yeah. So I'm considering having Marriott throw the amulet into my anti-grav pack. This way, I myself am not touching it, and it's sitting in compressed space out of direct danger. Oh, I'm going to tell Marriott to quickly hurry up and try and pick this amulet up as fast as they can and toss it. It's like, and hand it over to me so I can toss it into the anti-grav.
Okay, so like on the page, we get like you opening this thing up and be like, Marriott, toss it in, that kind of deal.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Anthony Sheets and TP Heuth, and edited by Anthony Sheets. Anthony can be found on Twitter at IcyNewYear or at IcyNewYear.com. T is the host of Incubator on Air, a new play podcast available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. They can be found at THeuthPlaywright on Twitter or THeuth94 on Instagram. Faces is GM'd by me, Anthony Sheets. Carl is played by Simon Meskins. You can find him on Twitter as Jill Bereka. Faye is played by TP Heuth. Rider Typhon is played by Kaido Kane. Kaido is a Twitch personality and loves their three mischievous cats. You can find them at The Versian on Twitter, and as Kaido Kane on Twitch.tv. Violet Starling is played by Zweifang. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. The music in this issue is Black Vortex by Kevin MacLeod. A link to his website and the license will be in the show notes. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at moonharborcast. We're also on Instagram at moonharborheroes. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on iTunes and tell a friend. Word of mouth and 5-star reviews are really the best way for us to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thanks for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.